So Haley was right. I am here today to bring in my testimony. However, things progressed through the time that the elders asked me to speak, and I put together more than just that. So I'm going to be reading from my phone. My printer wasn't working, so forgive me. My head will be down. I can often articulate my thoughts, my feelings better on a paper than I can looking at you guys. So I hope that's okay. This is, I've been eagerly anticipating speaking. So here we go. The elders have asked me to speak today. I have the honor and privilege to bring you a message for the next 3 hours or so.
Yes!
I will do my best to behave, but I did warn them. Their response was, if it is God's will, what could possibly go wrong? For those of you that don't know me or are new, my name is Craig Pateman. I was raised here in Pinoca all my life and have attended this church all my life. I am the eldest and most favorite child of John and Sheila Pateman. It is true, they did pick me. I can come across as intimidating, but I'm not. It's usually just my height. I will tell you how I feel and give you my opinion. This can make one feel uncomfortable. I say what's on my mind and heart, and at times put my foot in my mouth. I certainly hope today isn't one of those times. I'm by no means a public speaker or have any formal training in how to prepare for a sermon, but God is sovereign and I trust him to lead me. I'm going to be discussing some sensitive issues, so Surgeon General warning. I will be cognizant of the children present and how I word things. So I'm going to start with a story, little story. As a son of a Catholic priest born in 1856 from Croatia, an electrical engineer and inventor contributed to the fine-tuning of alternating current. Working for Westinghouse in 1898, at that time, DC current was quite dangerous and very inefficient, causing many fires due to high current loads in the transmission wires. Whereas AC current could be ramped down, transmitted, transformed back into a higher usable voltage, which was very efficient over a long distance. He also invented the X-ray, transforming medicine and wireless transmissions. He demonstrated to a group in amazement the use of the first remote control toy boat at a pond in New York. This technology is still used today, from radar, radio, to TV, and our cell phones. Some of you may have already figured out who this person is. Is there any guesses? None, hey? You bet. Nikola Tesla. So when we are called and accept Jesus Christ into our life, he wants us to be in relation with him. God knew us before we knew him, and he picked us. He wants to hear our heart's desires, our struggles, our triumphs, our prayers, to find comfort and shelter in him. Sometimes we walk away following our own path, and we can feel lost without him. We can't get through if there's no reception on the other side. And where we are in sin, these communications can cut off. A loss of connectivity occurs. There should be clear knowledge, and I believe there is, that we chose to ignore this when it occurs. We have strayed off course and are not honoring our Father. Call it self-idolatry. God is our great shepherd, and we know his voice. He is waiting for the connection to be repaired on the other side. You don't get to call TELUS or Shaw and have them come and fix this. There is no repairman that can do this for you. You are only able to do this and restore this through prayer, repentance, turning around and going the other way to stop the current course you are on and making a correction. As we grow closer and walk with God in our relationship, we start making fine, detailed adjustments, dialing in on that frequency or tuning to that station, hearing him more clearly. John 14:6, how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through me except through the Father. So I want to share my testimony to you. We've seen many walk through the waters recently, and it's incredible to see the Holy Spirit move in them in our church body. He is moving. I too have walked through these waters, and it was significant. For me, almost like a war scene from Lord of the Rings, when good clashes against evil in a battle. And it was a battle. So, I'll do the normal. I was born and raised in a Christian home. Had a good upbringing. I wanted to follow the Lord, and I prayed the prayer at a younger age, and I think looking back and reflecting on it that I was maybe just doing it because I wanted to honor my earthly father. I wouldn't say drink juice and eat the bread. I wouldn't say it was about that at all, but I didn't really feel a strong connection. Maybe I was too young. Maybe I wasn't called. I went to a play when I was younger and later on, and it was called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Fires. And it was a church in Red Deer that put this on, and it basically scared the ever-living life out of me, and I was called. So I rededicated my life at about, 8, 9, or 10, somewhere in there. And that was good. I had a good upbringing, good childhood. I grew up in town, but I spent a lot of time at Lynn and Sarah Houcher's farm. I would go there on my weekends and summer holidays, Christmas break, and Easter. Anytime that I could, I was out there, and it was such a blessing to have that opportunity, because I don't believe that I would have turned into the person that I am today without that hands-on mechanical aptitude and interest in machinery and everything like that. Lynn and Cyril sold the farm as I grew older. At about 15, I believe they moved to town. 16 or so, things transitioned from my childhood to teens, and it was different for me. There was always a poor part of me that felt like I was bound and determined to do the wrong thing. Started dating, and life significantly transformed for me, and I was engaged in activities that I shouldn't have been, that weren't God-honoring, that weren't productive to my future marriage. Really struggled with that, what we'll call it, promiscuity. I dated on and off. I usually had a girlfriend of some sort. And, as I grew older, I felt a real shame in my heart, and I felt like I had dishonored my parents. We ended up eventually breaking up, and it really crushed me because I thought she was going to be the one for the rest of my life. And, we were going to live happily ever after. I felt so bad that I had dishonored my parents, that I was consuming alcohol quite heavily at that age, and trying to numb things, trying to escape from the decision that I made. One night we were somehow managed to get on a train, and I fell off, and at some point I felt that it was not worth living life anymore, and I tried to get in front of that train. I had some friends with me, and they stopped me, and the RCMP came and sent me off to the hospital. Not the one Greg works at, the other one. And I was admitted for 30 days. Luckily, I got out on good behavior after 3, and carried on after, met a different lady, and I was going to counseling, and still in school. At that time, I had started the search for my birth mother. I am adopted, and I was picked from a shelf off of Volco. I found her actually the day I started looking for her. Because of all the things that were going on in my life, things were very hectic. Mom was kind of a wreck because she thought I was going to up and leave and find a new family and carry on life. And I, you know, part of me kind of thought that might happen, you know, that they would be rich and I'd have all these wonderful things that I had looked forward to for so many years. So the day I called her, I went up and I met her. And she hugged me when we met, and it was very uncomfortable. It really set the precedent, and I have 2 stepbrothers, and they are not functioning adults now. They never were. They've had some significant mental disabilities. I think after that meeting, I actually realized how blessed I was. And God had a bigger plan for my life, and I was rich, very rich. Because I was able to see my stepbrothers and where they were at in their cognitive ability. Yeah, it was very eye-opening. So it was good. We no longer talk. We did a paternity test, and the father that I thought, or my birth father, that she thought was my birth father, ended up not being my birth father. So that was a bit disappointing. This was about 3-4 months after my run-in with this train, and the girl I was dating then, her stepfather shot himself in the head. And I walked in 5 minutes after this happened. And I had to check his pulse for the operator on 911. So I was able to actually see to the extent of how badly that can tear a family apart. I've not longed for that or desired or even really pondered that much since that experience. As I grew older, I worked quite a bit. I was working at a body shop and then also a nightclub. And that was probably not the best place for me to be. I did security and then I also later did some DJing. And there was a gentleman there that was a brother of a girl I was dating at the time. You're going to see a pattern here develop. He came to the nightclub one night and was not happy that I had used some of his tools, and he was going to stab me. And he actually got the wrong guy. And the other security guy was stabbed 7 times in the stomach, and his throat was slashed, and I had a box of Kleenex to hold his neck. And oddly enough, the gentleman that did the stabbing went to Edmonton by Stars, and the gentleman that was stabbed went to Red Deer by ambulance. That relationship ended, and I was heavily into motorbikes, racing, speed. And I was living a very, very fast-paced life. Work, very little sleep, a lot of consuming alcohol, a lot of partying. I, at that time, probably was not on the correct path. No, I wasn't. I shouldn't say probably wasn't. I was not. I walked away, and I had my accident, and you'd think that's the high speed that I seeked and enjoyed so much was part of it, and it wasn't. I actually hit the guardrail at about 30 kilometers an hour, and it was good, in a way. I look at that as a learning experience, a blessing. I don't blame God. I never did. I never said, why me? I don't hold any resentment to him, towards him. In that respect, I'm free. That's when I made a course correction, was after my accident. I got involved with Alpha, a prayer ministry course. I did that, both course. I taught Alpha with Jessica. And did the prayer ministry course, kind of got my life back together. I was given an ultimatum and had to move out at 23. That was terrible. Rent was only $100 a month, so. So I had to grow up, and I ended up getting a job. And I had spent now probably the better part of 20 years in the automotive industry to some extent, whether it was at a dealership, in a service department, or managing a service department. I really enjoyed that team aspect, but a lot of stress came out of that fast-paced environment and high tempo, upbeat, high stress, high pressure targets to meet, pushing sales on people that I didn't really want to. If I couldn't sell it to my parents, I wasn't going to sell it to anyone. So alcohol continued to be present, and shortly before that I was baptized and had met my wife, and that was really a special time for me. We had children, and are kind of where we are now today. So that is that portion of my testimony. It goes quite deeper, but I don't want to carry on forever. I struggled in school, did not like school, was very sports oriented, played a lot of basketball. I had friends, struggled with friends. Some of those friends later took some of my girlfriends. And that really created some loyalty and insecurities with myself. Entry points that I created and strayed away from my walk, in which I have regressed now, cutting out over the years. Promiscuity when I was unmarried. I'm so thankful for marriage and God's provision. In this, depending on the day, my wife is as well. A continuous, unrelenting barrage of lust and lustful thoughts. After praying through many, many years and asking for help, this is no longer something that consumes my mind on a daily basis. Mainstream movies and binge-worthy series with questionable scenes that I prefer not to watch or engage in. Pornography. These women were once someone's little girl at one time. And that's an important thought for me, especially with three young daughters. I'm thankful that this holds no place anywhere in my life and hasn't for a very, very long time. Profanity, I loved to swear, and I still do on occasion, especially if I hurt myself, but it is significantly better. Music, to find an escape, freedom from reality, a euphoric feeling, senseless lyrics that were not God-honoring. Speed or adrenaline, rush for everything fast, the more dangerous, the better, living as close to the edge as possible. And you see that every day. I do look broken on the outside. I don't necessarily feel like I do on the inside as I look like on the outside. Eventually, I gave up. One of the hardest things to let go of for me was a worldly possession, was my race truck. I had put everything into that and not into God. My most recent journey, which I'm presently on, is the removal of alcohol. I'm still processing this and working through what it is like to be clear-minded and rearranging my social groups and structure. Stress was a big part of that, which I think most of you just call life. These are things I recognize that were disrupting my personal walk with God, and that line of communication was diminished. I wouldn't say I ever felt cut off, but it's like stepping on a running garden hose. It certainly was restricted. Not on God's accord. He gives us free will, but it was my own. What happens when you restrict a garden hose? Pressure can accumulate. The pressure I felt was and is sin. A heavy weight bearing down upon me, suffocating me and affecting my relationship with God. So great, it even affected my ability to partake in communion for a few months. As I battled in my head, it affected my life. What I'm trying to convey here today is a pruning, a dying to myself. Just because we are Christians once, we are saved, doesn't mean we get a free ride for eternity. This is when the real work starts. If there is no advancement or growth in our spiritual life, what do we have? If our identity is in Christ, it will change the way you live. Often our greatest setbacks are when God grows us the most And we cannot see it at the time because it's his time. Are you lukewarm or are you all in? I'm going to pick on men for a little bit. A difficult topic, but important, and it's not normally discussed, to my knowledge, in our church. We as believers don't live in a friendly world. In the age of smartphones, laptops, internet, and Lululemons, as a man, I recognize we are bombarded sexually daily. It occurs without us giving much thought, although it is everywhere. And it is presented as normal, like it's okay. It's not. Unmodest clothing, giving way to the flesh, TV, music videos, advertising, and it is all at free at your fingertips, especially if the algorithm picks up on it. And I am positive young men and married men in our midst silently struggle with pornography or a form of it now or have in the past. Possibly, but not as likely, women as well. That might be the male inside me thinking that, so take that for what it is. It's possible and it does occur. I urge you to uphold the sanctity of your marriage vows and the intimacy God intended for a biblical husband and wife to share. It is highly important that we honor our future wives to be and our spouses remaining true to one another. What you watch and see can affect expectations, create perceptions of what love really is or should be, twisting and distorting it. But it is actually lust. Wives, these are conversations uncomfortable to have. You need to check in. Open discuss, and it goes both ways, men. Goes both ways, men. You do too. Men are designed and wired differently than women. Surprise! And our wives don't always appreciate our persistent advancements. As men, we are the head of our families and set the example to our children. No, we should be focused on God first. Secondly, honoring and solely desire the one God blessed us with and not everything else around us. I am very aware of this weakness, and in this area the enemy knows as well, and he wants nothing more than to fill your head with these thoughts and destroy you and your marriage at all costs. I feel it is worldly, unfair, and selfish to even give time to such thought. I'm not condemning or trying to shame you. I struggle the same as you. So, where do we go from here? Scripture is the means, is the measure we evaluate everything else by. Circumcision of the heart. James 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You double-minded is defined as wavering. I had to look that up. 1 Corinthians 7, 23. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. I really want to encourage each of you to be open and honest with yourself to where the Holy Spirit is leading you in your walk and convictions. I have a healthy fear of the Lord more so now than years past because of the world we live in, and it is getting closer day by day to the Messiah's return. Everyone wants to make their earthly father proud. But what about our heavenly father? How can I do this? Here's some thoughts. Be obedient in the following of his teachings and instructions. They are put in place to protect us, not bind us, or take the fun away. And although at some times it feels like that, he really wants to protect his children. Honor God with worship and praise, the one and only true King that deserves this. Be in prayer and devotion daily. Bring your praises, struggles, and faults to him. He holds no condemnation over you and wants to hear your heart's desire. Serve. Volunteer for God's glory. Humble yourself. Have humility and compassion. Back to Nikola Tesla. No one ever believed he was operating that boat remotely. Could you imagine being back in like 1850 or 18 whatever, 98, and you see this, and it'd be like just so amazing, and you'd be like, there's someone in there. Someone's controlling that. Bystanders, because of the technology was so advanced for its time, bystanders thought there was someone in a boat controlling it for him. They demanded that he open it up, prove he was actually the one controlling it. If we look at this through Craig's biblical lens, I say to you, who or what is controlling you? Is it the world we are called to die from? Is it yourself seeking pleasure? Instant gratification, selfishness, pride, monetary gain? Or are you under the control of God, trusting and being obedient to his teachings and calling? Don't cut off the transmission. I now most days have a great peace in my heart. There is still work to do, but I am in a much better place with God. No inner conflict, no self-condemnation. I'm not constantly wrestling. God's in control. Maybe God is speaking to you today. You have something on your heart. You're putting off a relationship with Jesus or dialing in on that closeness. An addiction of some sort. Just struggles in life, health, bitterness, or stress. Your head's just above water and you're trying to get your next breath barely treading water. God is here with his arms stretched out. Talk to someone. Find an accountability partner you can open up to. Speak to me if you're feeling it's time to stop and turn around and go the other way. We are stronger as a body than individually. God's waiting and calling you to be in relation with him. I can tell you, we all have sin. How do you deal with yours? And that is, I'll call Haley up to close.